Today's show is brought to you by Podbean. If you're starting up a podcast, get hosting and support our show at the same time by signing up at podbean.com/sbfvgs. Welcome to Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover, episode 74. You're listening to the number one video game podcast on the internet that features my best friends. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Redding. Joining me is Mike, the Platinum Prancer, Lopez.
Yeah, all accurate.
It is very. I mean, you've been prancing a lot lately.
I got dancer's legs. I don't know what you want to do.
Prancing your way to that platinum in Just Dance 2016, was it?
Yeah, I'm getting it.
Oh man. And that's David Cabin in the Woods Tate.
Oh, that's because I was just in Gatlinburg, Tennessee at a family reunion, and our cabin was lovely, guys. It was just No, it wasn't spooky. It was very nice and lovely and in the woods, and there was a hot tub, and it was great.
Automatically spooky.
Yeah, but was there any murder at all?
No, not a single murder.
Boring.
Oh, so it's either boring or spooky. There's no like.
No, that's what all murderers say.
Yeah, oh, touche. And who's that mysterious extra voice?
That mysterious voice you're hearing is super guest friend Gabe, married to the Games Patillo.
Hey, I got a nickname this time.
Yeah. Oh, third time you've gotten your tenure.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it. So I can't get fired.
Yeah, you can't get fired now.
I can say whatever I want.
The super best friends we never forget once you hit three episodes.
Yeah.
I love it.
So.
Well, thank you for that intro, Adam, finally giving Gabe a nickname, Redding. How's that?
Yeah. So, yeah. I can tell you put a lot of hard, thought into that.
I always do, but this time I put even more hard work into it.
Oh, jeez. So.
The Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover Podcast comes to you every fortnight, with each of us coming to the table to discuss one burning topic from the world of gaming. But first, what are you gents playing?
Shall our super guest friend go first?
I say so.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
You know what? I've been parenting a lot. Mm-hmm. I've been playing that game.
Mm-hmm. The game of life.
Mm-hmm. However, I have been on the road because for a living I travel, and I've mm-hmm. been in the same place for almost a week, and wow. I've been playing the mess out of that Destiny 2 beta.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. Good. We have something to talk about, Gabe. We have.
I'm in there like swimwear, baby.
Nice. I like it. I can't say I've ever heard that one before, actually.
Well, Gabe is an innovator.
Yeah,
he's an innovator.
He is an innovator. Innovation.
Yep.
So, what do you think?
I love it. Mm-hmm. It feels so good to me to be back. I mean, the controls feel amazing. And it was one of those things where, because I obviously played the mess out of the first one. Me and Tito mm-hmm. played a bunch together.
Yeah, we did, actually.
And then I stepped away from it. I didn't do the expansions. And so I didn't.
I haven't played the expansions.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
So I haven't been playing it this whole time, you know? And so I stopped after Vault of Glass and moved on to some other things. Obviously, the podcast being one of a big reason why, because I needed to, diversify and everything like that and play some other stuff and have an opinion.
It does get a little old if you talk Destiny every single week.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Forever. Exactly. Yeah.
Not to everyone, Adam. I think we have some listeners that would beg to differ.
They just want a deep dive into Destiny
every time.
And so I've been loving the beta, and it's been really awesome. We got to give away some codes, and that was a lot of fun. And then like I got to the first time I played, I jumped in with people from our community over at Married to the Games, mm-hmm. and it was just like, oh yeah, this is freaking awesome.
Yeah. You know, what's cool from your perspective, like you missed Destiny growing into like a really actually fleshed out game. Like you played vanilla Destiny, which was pretty good, but it got better since you left the game. Like the Taken King, in terms of story, the Taken King is like a billion times better than vanilla Destiny. And so like the guy who directed the Taken King is the guy who's directing Destiny 2. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool seeing your like semi fresh perspective. It's a unique one, because either most of the people I know played Destiny all the way throughout. I don't know a whole lot of people that just played up to Vault of Glass and then stopped. Like, I know people that just played the story and stopped, but not up to Vault and Glass, because that took a little bit of a grind, you know? So,
yeah, exactly. And one of the guys on our podcast, Chris McCracken, he put like 1,200 hours into the first Destiny and did all the expansions and everything.
Oh my gosh.
And so it's interesting hearing his perspective, because he's extremely critical of it, of the beta. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's because it feels like it's really nitpicky, because he knows the game so well, where I don't know the game that well, and I'm playing with friends, and he's talking about sounds that didn't happen, and how this is quieter than this was, and that and the other. And I'm like, I was talking to people. Like, I didn't even notice any of that.
And so that's amazing.
I loved it. I had a great time with it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I have not heard a whole lot of critiques about the beta, except for the fact that there's only three things that you can do at the moment, or maybe four things technically. But like the last beta was super. Like you had like a whole patrol area, and you had like all of the story missions on Earth. And then eventually on that weekend, you got to play a couple story missions, or maybe just one story mission on the moon. And like, then you had Crucible, and you had a strike. It felt like you could play it for like a week and get a lot of stuff, you know, out of it. But this beta, you play the first story mission, one strike, and then a Crucible match. And like
two Crucible matches.
Well, yeah, they're technically, you're right. It's Control. And then just regular, yeah,
right.
And then just regular, what is it? Just PvP? Just the clash? Is that what?
It's like a mode? You know, it's like a set of bomb competitive. One's quick play where you have to go get A, B, and C, and then there's where you have to set a bomb and try to defuse it in competitive mode.
Oh, that's the new one. I forget what it's called, but
it's called set a bomb and try to defuse it.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That's a really catchy name.
It is a catchy name for a mode. I like it.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
By the way, side note, I just looked up my stats using Charlemagne, the Discord, Destiny bot we have in our Discord server, and I have played 786 hours of Destiny so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot.
That is more than I've ever played any game.
Yeah.
All combined.
I know. It's actually crazy. I'm surprised. I've spent just 122 of those hours raiding. So that's...
Wow.
Man, I'm actually kind of surprised at those stats. by the way, if you want to join our Discord, it's bit.ly/SBFVGSDiscord. Just a little plug in there for you.
There you go.
Yeah. It's pretty active.
We're hanging
actually,
out
Mike,
in there.
Mike and Adam have both been in there all the time lately. And
I've been
too,
in there more than David. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Well, that's because I was on vacation.
Yeah, excuses.
You just wait, Mike.
Someone's got to hold Discord together. Awesome.
Yeah, Discord is really awesome. So
and
anyway,
I feel like
join us,
David. You probably are wishing that I'm not in there as much, because I was arguing your brains out today.
Nah, I loved it. It was great. So Adam and I, we have this thing where we like to debate. And also, I'm just realizing we hijacked what Gabe's been playing. By the way,
yeah.
That's okay. Okay, I already answered. Gabe, I already answered.
Gabe, Gabe, come on the show. Talk about what you're playing. Anyway, got a great story about David and I.
Yeah.
We're always on this show.
Yeah. Adam and I fancy ourselves a couple of nerds, and nerds always debate against each other the silliest of topics. So
true.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time debating Star Wars and whether or not George Lucas has the right to change his movies as much as he did.
No, and I don't debate that he has the right. Let's get into it. Let's do this for another hour.
Okay.
I wouldn't debate that he doesn't have the right. Uh-huh. I'm just saying it's wrong of him to do it.
He has the right, but it is wrong. I like that.
There
like
you go. That's just to put a little bow on it.
That makes a lot of sense to me. You could, but you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we're getting into Ian Malcolm, Dr. Ian Malcolm territory.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Spent so much time deciding whether or not they could. They didn't stop to think whether or not they should.
Ah, yes, that's right.
That was my best Jeff Goldblum. It was terrible. You don't know Jurassic Park?
Not that well.
Oh, Gabe. Oh. All right, anyway.
Anyway, are you playing anything else, Gabe?
Clash Royale.
Oh,
yeah,
wait,
that's
Clash
right.
Clash Royale.
You guys
I've
are heard
deep
great things about that. I've never
I
tried
have
it,
that.
Though.
I'm a big Clash Royale person. Oh, I love it. It was actually, this is going to sound weird, it was my game of the year last year.
Whoa! Wow.
I know, a mobile game. Trust me.
I love it.
It tasted funny coming out when I said it the first time.
I don't know how to take that.
Gabe, I mean, I don't want to be, I don't want to throw this term around, but you're not one of those filthy casuals, are you?
I'm both, baby. I'm married to it. But sometimes I cheat on the side with them mobile games.
Oh, man.
I'm looking at the PlayStation out the corner of my eye like, it's okay, baby. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm just going to play some Clash Royale on the toilet right quick.
You just rest. You just rest over there.
Yeah, you just be in rest mode.
You stay in rest mode.
Yeah, so you're so pretty when you sleep. You're so pretty when you sleep.
Oh, my goodness. So I played a little Clash Royale, and that game makes me rage harder than any other game I've ever played.
See?
I get so mad when I can't, like, most of my matches go like this. Like, I start putting cards down and, like, defending against his attacks, and he can't touch me and I can't touch him, and he always has the perfect counter to what I'm playing. And I never get like something that catches him off guard, and then that's the whole match, and then none of us get any what do they call them, crowns, and
yeah,
so I just get mad
and crowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway,
wait. So you're saying you raged harder with Clash Royale than you did with PlayerUnknown Battleground, where you unplugged your mic? You were raging.
Oh yeah, Adam's referring to a YouTube video that I posted where at the end of the video I just go silent because I accidentally unplugged my mic when I was like flailing in defeat.
That's amazing. Is that a good game?
I love it. It is so good. So I guess I can jump into what I've been playing.
Yeah,
I've been playing PlayerUnknown's Battleground. I've been posting videos of my play sessions on our YouTube, and also streamed it a little bit a couple weeks ago. And that's where most of the videos are coming from. But it's very good, very intense. It's not the kind of game you want to play when you're like, man, I just need a chill night to just relax and maybe go to sleep early. Because if you play that game, PlayerUnknown's Battleground, if you play it after 10 p.m., you're going to be wide awake.
Right. I just need a chill night to throw a tantrum.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah. You know, I don't actually rage that much in the game because usually I'm, like, just happy to be there because I don't expect myself to ever win it because I'm not good enough. But there's a chance I could. And sometimes I, like, as like when it gets to be, like, 10 people left alive, I start to think, oh, man, maybe this is the match. Maybe this is the one where I can, like, you know, hide just long enough till there's just a couple other people, and then I'll get the heads up on them and I'll shoot them before they see me and I'll win. Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know, that game is this massive open world, but it's a battle royale, so it keeps funneling you down into smaller and smaller areas until you are all
is
dead
it like
except for
H1Z1?
Yeah, H1Z1 had a mode like that, and actually the guy who created that, well, he consulted on that mode, and he created it originally for the DayZ game, which was a mod for another game. He created a battle royale style game for DayZ. Then he consulted on the H1Z1 one, which H1Z1 was basically just DayZ again, but made by Sony. And then after he consulted on the H1Z1 battle royale thing, he
King
went
of the
ahead
Kill.
And made, what was that?
King of the Kill was what it was called.
Oh, is that what it's called? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So after he consulted on that and they, you know, made their millions or whatever with it, he started his own. His name, he goes by PlayerUnknown on like Twitter, and he created his own game called Battlegrounds using the Unreal Engine. And it's the best version of it now. So
I need to check that out.
He's refined it over like three different games, and now he's like gotten it down to like the science of what makes it fun.
And you're playing it on PC, right?
Yeah, it's only on PC right now. It's very intensive in terms of processing power. I'm actually looking at upgrading my CPU and stuff just so I can play the game better. Because there's like
still in early access.
Yeah, it's still in early access. It's only $30 right now, I believe. It will, I think, eventually go up to $60 if I'm not mistaken. And it is also coming to Xbox One, which they announced at E3. It's very fun. Like I didn't expect it to be as fun as it is. Like I bought it because I'm like, $30, what do I got to lose? I'll try it. I'm not sure I'll love it, but then I played it, and I was like, oh, I was hooked, you know?
So, wow.
Yeah.
I need to check that out because I loved King of the Kill, and me and some buddies played H1Z1 like the antidote was in it. And so we just played it so often, and it is it's such a thrill to be going up against you versus everybody. And King of the Kill has a mode where you can play teams as well, like a team of five. Yeah. So you know,
PlayerUnknown's Battleground has that too.
That's nice, nice. I just built a new computer, so maybe I could try that thing.
Ooh. Yeah, Eric's been playing it too. So you have some friends playing it. So
Oh yeah.
You mean Eric Handsome Face Kruger?
Yeah, Eric Handsome Face Kruger, who's handsome face we thank every fortnight. So
that Joker really
be praised.
He really swanned, didn't he?
What?
Like we were all on the same playing field for a long time, and then all of a sudden he got real handsome. I was like, oh great. Now we can't be seen in public together.
So this is your first time here.
I'm just gonna be the ugly friend now.
Exactly. I'll be the fat chubby friend, which I already was, but he was fat and chubby too.
Yeah. He blossomed.
If this is your first podcast with Gabe on it, Gabe, Adam, and I all grew up together in Tennessee. So, and Eric also. So that's how we all know that aspect of he suddenly swanned. Yeah.
Yeah. And David and I are celebrating 20 years of friendship.
That's true. Ooh. Adam actually texted me the other day and was like, David, we've been friends for 20 years now. And I was like,
look at you guys.
Yeah,
I was like, man, this is crazy. I feel very old, but also it's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Oh, it is awesome. So PlayerUnknown's Battleground, I've been playing. Destiny 2 beta, been playing that. I still need to play a little bit more to get a feel. Like, I've played the first story mission with all three classes now, but I need to do the strike still with a couple more classes, and probably need to get a little more Crucible in there just for luck. And I hear a rumor, and this is after we release the episode, but I hear a rumor that on Saturday they'll be opening up
the farm, the
social space of Destiny 2 to mess around in for 1 hour. So
that is so stupid.
It is. It's very.
I'm so mad about that. Why are they doing that? It's going to take me 30 minutes to get on the server in the first place because everybody's going to be trying to get on that thing.
That's true. Yeah, it was very hard. I remember it being very hard to get to the moon too. Like right when they for the 1 hour they made it accessible during the Destiny 1 beta. But I'm going to try to be there for that. I have nothing to do Saturday, so hopefully I'll get to see that. Maybe record some video of that too. But yeah,
although we may be recording a super secret interview on Saturday. Who knows?
Well,
hopefully that'll be teaser. Before the
little
farm
teaser
opens
for
up.
You.
I'm pretty sure the farm will open up at better hours for Pacific Standard because that's where Bungie's located. So
David and Mike are going to interview me.
Yeah, that's the secret interview.
Cat's out of the bag.
Oh my gosh! You're welcome.
It's a developer. The interview's a developer. That's all I'll say.
Yeah,
nice.
Of a cool looking game. So that's it.
Oh, now you got my butterflies going.
It's what we call a tease in the industry.
in the biz, you know.
Yeah, in the biz.
Michael,
mm-hmm.
Have you been playing the video games as well?
I also played the Splatoon 2 global test splat thing.
How was that?
That was last Saturday. It was very good. I am buying that game. I'm sold. That sold me.
Nice.
So, did you play the first one?
I did not. No.
Oh, okay.
I did. I played the first one on the Wii U and loved it. Had a great time with it. You know, I'm just kind of waiting a little bit until...
It'll never go on sale.
I just feel like the Nintendo Online is probably going to be a hot mess when it first comes out.
It'll always be a hot mess. It will never
I'm just
going to
wait.
Yes.
I'm just going to wait a little while. But
it's definitely going to be a Jerry Springer guest the whole life cycle of the app.
I like it. So anyway, that's it. Splatoon 2, it's good. It's fun. It's colorful. And it won't replace Destiny, but it's a fun distraction. So, all right, Mike.
Sweet.
All you.
Sweet. Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
yeah. Anytime. I've been trying to get through Mass Effect Andromeda. I really want to finish that game before the end of the month because, you know, got Uncharted coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta play that. So,
what was that, Adam?
mm-hmm. Yeah, because Uncharted's coming.
It
that's
is coming.
The sound That's my Uncharted sound.
Okay.
That's how much blackness rubs off on people. You just turned into a black church lady when Mike brought up.
Gabe's been here on the show for 15 minutes, and here we are already turning.
Oh, man.
I'll go get me some collard greens, some watermelon, and I'll play me some Uncharted, Lost Legacy.
Yep.
Hey, guys, by the way, Gabe is black. Just so you know, we're not...
Oh, yeah, just in case you ain't put that together.
Audio-only podcast. Yeah. You know.
Please don't send us hate letters. Okay.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
So, that's all you played? Getting that,
trying to finish that. And then, of course, I'm working on my prancing legs. I'm playing the Just Dance.
Oh, yeah. Just Dance 2016.
Yeah, yeah, I get that platinum.
Game of the Year edition.
Yes.
How is it that so many games get a Game of the Year edition?
I don't know if this is actually Game of the Year edition. I have no idea.
Does that mean all the DLC, is that what makes it a Game of the Year edition? Is that what it is?
No, because they don't have any DLC for Just Dance. That they have is a subscription service. You can pay, like, monthly or every 3 months or yearly, and you get access to like 200 songs instead of just like the 50 songs it comes with.
So what makes it so special then? Why is it so Game of the Year?
Oh, it's, I don't think it is. I think Adam is just saying
I was
stuff.
Just joking. He was just,
Adam just saying words.
I think unsubstantiated.
I think Overwatch has got a Game of the Year coming out, and I didn't understand what that means.
Really?
Yeah, like there's an Overwatch Game of the Year edition coming out, and I'm like, but all the DLC is free. Like, why in the world you need a Game of the Year edition?
What?
But listen, Gabe, listen. You get all the DLC for free on this one.
It comes with it.
It comes with it for free, free of charge.
Golly.
No, but I think it comes with a bunch of loot boxes and maybe some skins. Or
oh,
something
is that what it is?
Something like that. We talked about it.
Oh,
we talked about
it.
Couple,
actually, I think it does have some skins. Yeah, that's it. You got it. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Cool.
The loots.
So there
that
you
makes
go.
Sense, I guess.
So, Mike, what would you say is the most embarrassing dance to do in that game?
And can you please broadcast it on Twitch?
Okay, so here's the problem with that. I put that thing on Twitch. It gets archived to YouTube. Next thing you know,
I got
a Justin Bieber situation. I'm getting discovered.
Yeah.
I'm hopping in my Beyonce ship.
Maybe you could be with Gabe out when he's out on the road, you know?
Come on, Dot.
There you go.
I mean, these legs ain't free, but I could do it.
Yeah, that's how they found me.
They found you from Just Dance?
They found me from Dance Dance Revolution, man. I was sweating my tail off in an arcade down the way, and they was like, "That he's the one.
He's the chosen one.
He's the one. He's the Highlander."
I like the idea of like they're sitting in a booth eating pizza and they just like they pull the sunglasses down slowly. And
look across the way into the arcade.
Yeah. It's good lord.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
His legs move like a gazelle.
Oh, it's a short film, guys. We're writing a short film right now. This is exactly Gabe's origin story. I like it.
Yeah. And then I'm joined with freaking Taco Douglas.
Equal. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I've never seen anything so beautiful.
Like there's a close up of your eyes and a single tear rolls down.
Right. I haven't seen anybody dance like that since 97.
So we have a joke here on SBF VGS that Vanilla Destiny is Adam's dance name. Right?
Yeah, that was my old dancing
his
name.
Own
I like
old
that.
Dance's name.
Yeah, that's what they called me. You know,
I like that a lot.
Vanilla Destiny. So, what's yours, Mike?
Yeah. I think you do need a dance name.
You know, I you got to create a profile for playing Just Dance.
Okay.
Okay.
So I resurrected Rumpa Dumps.
Oh, it's Rumpa Dumps.
Yeah.
I love it. That's a great dance
name. I feel like
that is perfect.
The dance name Rumpa Dumps really conjures up images of Mike twerking it up.
Yeah, it's sort of pre-party grandpa, just like current day Rumpa Dumps.
Before you become the party grandpa, which you inevitably will become, but for now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Right.
All right, so I've been playing so first off, the wife and I, since the last episode, we went to Cabo San Lucas.
Oh, wait. Excuse
in,
me.
In Mexico.
Excuse
you see.
Me.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we went there on vacation with No, so we went, my buddy Alex from high school, he's been on the podcast, basically it was he and his wife, 10 years, they hit 10 years married, so they were going down there, they had this sweet hookup on a mansion in the hills.
Overlooking
the ocean, and they said, you guys should totally come with us, and we said, we accept.
I know, that's right.
So, yeah, so we flew down there. But I did bring, don't worry guys, I did bring the Vita.
Whew, that was a
and I brought one. the Nintendo Switch.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, so basically on the plane down there, me and the wife playing some Mario Kart on the tray table. It was,
of course.
It was glorious. Yeah.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
People were looking around all jealous, you know. And I was like, yeah, go ahead and wait in a 3,000 person line and find me later. You know, that kind of thing. Real cocky, right? Real rude is how, that's how I did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
You guys were all looking like you're in the commercial.
Yeah.
There's two people playing on the plane.
Yeah, we're slapping five, the whole thing. It was
exactly.
Great.
Exactly. Yeah, like how you like me now playing in the background somehow?
Yeah.
How you like me now?
Exactly. So we played some Mario Kart on the plane, played some Snipper Clips on the plane, which was a lot of fun. And then basically she was like, I want to read my book now. And I said, okay, it's Zelda time. So I hop into Zelda, playing some of that sweet, sweet Zelda on the plane. And then it was like, we played Mario Kart too long. Cause I played for maybe 10 minutes and they're like, bing, doom. All right, put away those gadgets, put away your electronic gizmos.
Wait, they made you
it's
put away the
land.
Electronics? They're not supposed to do that.
That
anymore.
One doesn't count. Yes.
Oh, they do.
The Switch doesn't count.
Apparently in Mexico it does. Huh.
Well, they told us to do it, and I complied.
Wow.
Yeah.
Weird. Huh. Okay.
Lame.
Yeah, that's very
lame. So we spent some time down there. I played some God of War collection on the Vita, because I'm making my way through God of War 1 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of replaying the whole series and getting prepped. Not Ascension. Who cares? Nobody wants Ascension. Get out of here. Just playing 1, 2, and 3, and then playing the new one.
Which one's Ascension? Is that the Vita one or something?
The PSP one? It was a PS3 game after God of War 3.
Oh.
Is it a prequel of some kind?
I
can't
remember. Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm not going back and playing like the PSP games. Forget it.
Just
1, 2, and 3, and then the new one next year, the year after, or the year after.
Seriously.
Whenever it comes.
On the PS5.
On the PS5. Launch day. So anyway, yeah, I've been playing some mobile games. Got home, played some more Night in the Woods. Loving that. It's Halloween, if that means anything to you, dear listeners.
Is it?
Yeah, so that's where I'm at. I'm about halfway through.
I was going to say, is it Halloween right now? I'm very confused. You mean at Halloween.
We're recording this episode way early.
I was very confused for a second there.
Yeah, so I played some Night in the Woods, and I will definitely... I've got the house to myself at the moment. My family is away. They are house-sitting. And so there's a couple things on the docket here. I'm catching up on movies. I watched Logan last night. It blew my mind.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh. So good. I wept.
Yeah.
I wept.
I would watch that, except...
Did you?
Yeah, I've heard... I would watch Logan,
right,
but I've heard that it makes everyone cry, and I hate crying. So,
well, no, and I didn't cry. I didn't cry until like real close to the end. They got me. They knew how to pull those heartstrings. So,
and that's why
they got me there.
There you go.
And man, you will. It was. It's so good, though.
I didn't cry in that one. I cry in movies too. I didn't cry in that one.
Oh,
I will go out on a limb. I will say Logan is right up there with The Dark Knight for me for best ever superhero movies.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty high praise.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, so on the docket, though, catching up on some movies, and then I want to check out that Castlevania anime. I haven't watched any of that yet.
Oh, I've heard it's so good, and it's very short. You'll probably get through in one night.
It's only 4 episodes, for right now. But yeah, so I want to do those things, but also I'm going to be buckling down on some Resident Evil 7, try to finish that over the next like week and a half. And also, see, now that I have time... I have the house to myself, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of that sweet, sweet backlog cage match.
Huh?
Do you remember the backlog cage match idea?
Yeah, the streaming stuff.
Teased it a couple months back. What I want to do is take a couple of games that are somewhat similar and pit them against each other from my backlog. And so I'm going to do Assassin's Creed Unity. No, not Unity. Assassin's Creed Syndicate and Mad Max. and put them up against each other.
Now you're gonna do a, you're gonna do a poll, right?
I'm gonna play probably 1 hour of each.
Oh, okay.
And see which one has grabbed me.
Oh.
And throw the other one in the garbage.
I like that part the best.
That's dramatic.
Yeah.
And then after we stop filming, then I'll fish it out and I'll sell it to GameStop. But you know, for dramatic effect.
Right. Yes. Of course.
Yeah. So this.
Can I rewind for a second?
Yeah.
You are home alone.
I'm home alone.
And you go play Resident Evil 7?
Yeah.
Nah, doc.
Yeah, you know what?
Nah, doc.
I have a bad habit of like watching really terrifying movies when I'm home alone, and then being like super paranoid the rest of the time I'm alone.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ himself would have to be sitting next to me for me to play Resident Evil 7. Just quoting Psalms.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, yeah, that's it for me for what we've been playing, or what I've been playing, what I shall be playing. You guys want to hop into some news?
Well, I would, but you're gonna have to learn to say this right, Adam. You get it wrong every fortnight. It's actually
wait, let me try it.
All right, let's hear
the news.
I mean,
that's a shame. Before God,
was that
man.
Pretty? Was that pretty good, David?
That was a good try.
Stop lying to him.
But really, it goes like this: the news.
Oh, that was pretty. That was a little bit higher than mine.
Yeah, just a little bit. Probably a little bit higher too. Like a little bit louder. A little bit crazier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a kind of a funny story. So Nintendo has announced many new 3DS games at E3, and then promptly discontinued the new 3DS model. So there's no rhyme or reason with Nintendo.
Yeah. By the way, it's a new 3DS model, because there's multiple new 3DS models. So
there's so many. Yeah. I can't keep track.
It's
anymore.
Hard to keep track of. But yeah.
And then there's the new 2DS.
It was hilarious because like half of their treehouse or whatever they call it, where they're announcing new games, was 3DS games, and we're all like, come on, Nintendo, we don't want...
Give me some Switch.
We want some Switch games. And then they announced this month that they're discontinuing the smallest version of the new 3DS. So now all you'll have in that form factor is a new 2DS, I think, maybe. I'm not 100% sure which one fills that, but anyway...
Yeah, I don't know.
I
can't keep track.
They really should just end the 3DS support altogether now that they've got Switch.
I think they just sell too many 3DS games still. You know, especially overseas in Japan, you know.
Yeah, I guess. They need to stop buying those games.
Yeah, it'd be the best thing for the Switch is for the 3DS to die.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I guess they got to keep the 3DS going while there's still no Switches to be bought.
I guess that's
are they still hard
point.
To get?
They're still really hard to get. At least over in Japan, and we'll kind of get to this here when we hit Twitter questions. But yeah, they're ridiculously hard to get over there still.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's partially because they've been prioritizing extra stock for America and Europe, and so yeah, the poor Japanese folks.
Poor Japanese folks.
Sorry, y'all.
Yeah.
If any of you are listening, you know, if you live in Japan and you listen to this podcast, tweet at me, because I want to know, at David J. Tate, because I would be, that would be crazy. So, anyway.
And he wants to give you a formal apology.
Yeah, I'll apologize on behalf of Nintendo, stealing all of the Switches for America. So.
All right, Atari's new Atari Box console will be like an NES classic, featuring HDMI and all that fun stuff. Because, you know, realistically, we already had an Atari version of an NES classic, only it was super low tech. It was like, you know, I think just component out.
I was gonna say, hasn't this already been available at like every mall kiosk since I was 16?
Well, those aren't official, right? Those are third party, like reverse engineered.
They're official.
Oh.
Well, I don't know about the mall kiosk ones, but we have one that's an official Atari one from, you know, 3-4 years ago.
Oh.
But yeah, it's not HDMI. So they're upgrading this hardware a little bit. And it sounds like some weird stuff's going on with this. They're saying it's going to be modern console innards, which I don't know exactly what that means, but
why?
That they're going to be maybe releasing games on this thing. They're trying to like Trojan horse it in as like a retro box, like an NES classic, and then like start releasing games on it. I don't know. Seems really weird.
Yeah, it does.
They don't know.
They don't know what's going on.
They do not know.
If I had to guess,
I mean, we've got so many. We have so many iterations of flashbacks for Atari that just doesn't make any sense. Like, we were able to get it on all the PlayStations.
Yeah.
And then they had the hardware stuff come out, and then they had the composite ones that they were selling at the mall. It's like, who's the market?
They're just like, look at how much everyone was buying that NES Classic like crazy. Let's get an Atari one.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but they have Mario and games that look good. We don't even need HDMI for this.
That's true. Have you seen it? How long has it been since you guys have seen an Atari game? They are really ugly.
They're real rough.
Right. Well, I just want the sharpest square I can get on my television. Like, woo, that square is sharp. Look at that. That's an HD square, baby. Baby, you see that square?
So here's a couple good things.
The H-est of D squares.
Yeah. Here's a couple good things about the Atari box, though. It has an SD slot, so you can actually put more games on it, which that's something the NES Classic and the SNES Classic could really use, honestly. Expand your game library, basically.
With all those new Atari games.
With all those great
games. Yeah, exactly. Like,
well, so...
why did that not have them all out there in the first place? Like, what are you going to add?
That's true.
I know. Are you going to run out of room? Like, yeah. All the games are like 8K or something. You know, not even that.
Exactly. Like, what's the storage space doing in there? It's got 8 megabyte flash drive that just gets filled up to the brim with all these Atari games.
So the new games that they're talking about, I'm guessing they're going to be trying to court indie developers to port their games to this Atari box, which will likely be running like some sort of Linux or something.
Hey, yeah, you know, it worked for the Ouya.
Yeah, so I was going to say, yeah, I mean, think indie developers, they've already been through this.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Right.
But if they can make it really easy to port to, like if it's basically a PC, then maybe it won't be that hard to do. I don't know.
Nope.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not that interested. I think it's kind of a cool looking box.
It is cool looking. Devil's Advocate. I'm not buying it either, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It is cool looking, Adam. I'll give you that.
It's cool looking. I mean, I got the NES Classic sitting in there. I'm going to play that one instead, though.
Well, so. I don't know how you got that, you jerk. So.
Oh, man. So a fan has created Super Mario 64 Maker.
This is
on a PC
so cool.
mod. It's pretty incredible. Check it out on YouTube if you haven't seen it. But yeah, you can sit there and build Mario 64 levels and then play them. It's not as polished as something like, you know, the actual Mario Maker game on the Wii U.
But still surprisingly polished, though, despite...
It's really good for being a fan-made mod, you know?
It's, like, amazing.
Do you guys like that stuff?
No.
Building levels and
not
stuff?
At all.
I would have bought Super Mario Maker if it came out for Switch, but it didn't, so I won't.
Yeah, we had Super Mario Maker on the Wii U, my kids loved it. I built like one insane level and had a great time doing it. And then I just never went back.
Oh,
so. Yeah.
But it wasn't my game. I mean, my son really wanted it. They played it a whole bunch. They loved it. So I think it's,
Mike,
I think
I'm
it's,
with you, Doc.
Yeah. I think it's great for the kids, but you know, maybe not as much for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, the problem with games like that is when they expect you to create something for them, the last thing I want to do when I get home from work, which I've been creating all day at work, the last thing I want to do is go home and create more things. You know what I mean? Like sitting there and using all my creative resources when I really just want to turn my brain off and have something entertain me.
And I think,
you know what I mean?
I think it's a thing when you're a kid, right? Like, I love Mario Paint.
Oh, that's true.
But I don't want to do that now.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. You're right. That's a very good point, Mike.
Yeah. You know, I get it. I know the audience
is why,
it's just not me.
Which is why I'm kind of concerned for Dreams, that Media Molecule game that's probably never coming out.
I love Media Molecule, but I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't want to do it either. I want to see other people who are really good at it do it, but I know I want to watch like some Let's Plays and like, oh, that was cool. He made the Eiffel Tower out of pizza. It's incredible. But like, I don't want to do that.
That looks so stupid.
Yeah.
They showed it. I was like, okay, so we just like making demons?
Just making demons and walking them through the forest. That's the
making
tagline.
Claymation demons.
Yeah.
I was like, what in the world? Who wants to do
it's
this?
A Tim Burton simulator.
Right. He's like, yes. Right.
Man, they need to hire you for marketing because
I can do it.
Yeah. You could do it. You just got me interested in that game and I wasn't.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. They should have called it that, the Tim Burton Maker.
All right, next item. After a year of agony for Adam, the Myst Creators Award-winning puzzle exploration game Abduction is finally coming to PS4 and PSVR.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
On August 28th for $30.
Wow.
That's not bad for a game that, you know, got reviewed really well on PC last year. It came out, I think, in August last year, too.
I feel like I've played a little bit of this somehow. Was there a demo or something?
There might have been. I don't know
what. Somehow I've seen some of this game, I think. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I was all crazy about it, and then it kind of went away for... I was thinking, yeah, a couple of months it'll be on PS4. Nope, a year. A solid year of agony. Yeah, so I went ahead and I actually pre-ordered Uncharted and this one.
Nice.
Ready to go. Locked and loaded for day one.
Will the PSVR version be the PS4 version? Like, if you just buy it once...
Yeah, you buy it once, it comes with both versions.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So,
you have PSVR, Adam?
No, but I've got a buddy who has it, and he sometimes will bring it over, and then sometimes we'll leave it here for 2 months on accident. So
that shows you the value of the PSVR.
Hey, I like my PSVR. I still play it a bit.
Yeah, there you go.
You're like, I love it so much, I just leave it at my buddy's house for half a year.
So, I'll have to trick him into coming over with it.
Yeah.
And then I'll pull the fire alarm. We'll all run out and then, oh, I'm sorry, you can't go back in there. It's not safe. And then, you know, because we have a big red fire alarm on our wall.
Right.
Of
yeah. Of course. Like most
like,
houses.
Like everyone, like a solid plan.
Like we all do here in California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
solid.
You got to be worried about all those fires, you know?
There's literally not one hole in that plan.
Yeah. No, but Justin, if you're out there listening, I'm just kidding. I want to have you over and hang out and be friends and high five and stuff.
And so. The tricking begins.
I'm not trying to trick you.
Has
I'm not
nothing
trying to, trick
to do
you.
With trying to trick you.
So I'm super jazzed for that one. But yeah, even if I don't play it in PSVR, but I think that's going to be a really great PSVR game because, I mean, by all accounts, it's a great game played in PSVR. Everybody wins.
Yeah. Win-win. Win-win situation right there.
All right, next story from David J. Tate. Confirmed. Voice chat on the Nintendo Switch officially sucks.
Oh my goodness.
Man.
So this was based on a Kotaku article, basically.
Okay, so you tried this, or you haven't tried it
I haven't tried it. No, but like Kotaku posted this picture a month ago of this ridiculous looking dongle. So basically what you do is you plug...
So
you,
mad.
You go from your Switch audio output into this dongle, and then you also plug a wire into your phone... into the same dongle, and then you plug your headphones into this dongle, and then you get to hear voice chat and the game, and it's just the most ridiculous convoluted thing I've ever seen. And now the Nintendo Online app has launched, and it turns out like to create a voice chat party is super convoluted, very hard to do. And then in addition, if you alt tab or whatever, if you tab away from the Nintendo app on your phone, it turns off voice chat. And then when you go back to the Nintendo app, you have to reconnect to the voice chat.
Yeah.
So
and you definitely have
literally
to
the most ridiculous thing ever.
You have to keep the app open and you have to keep your screen on.
Yeah, that's right. You can't even lock your phone, right?
Oh
no.
My gosh, I didn't realize that part.
Yeah, I don't think
Yeah, you can't even turn the screen off at all.
So that thing's going to be dead in no time.
Yeah.
Well, iPhone people.
See, here's what they're doing. I already figured this out.
Don't worry though, cuz your Switch will already be dead.
That's what I'm saying. They're just all they're trying to do is take your Switch battery and get your phone battery to sync right up.
Oh boy.
Cuz here's the thing. So you have a wire from the Switch to the dongle.
Yeah.
Dongle to your phone. Dongle to your headphones.
Yes.
And then iPhone people have to get that other splitter to put that in the lightning thing and split it so they could charge their phone while they're using this thing. It's literally the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. And
it's
here's the thing.
Amazing.
Amazing for Satan.
amazing to like take a picture of it and put it on Twitter and laugh. That's all I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most ridiculous. I get so mad at Nintendo because I want them to do well.
Yeah.
And they're like, I've always described Nintendo like my dad. Like, come on, Dad. You got it this time. And then he lets you down, and you're like, doggone.
Oh.
It feels like that because I want them to do. They're a huge part of my childhood.
Yeah.
And the decisions they make are so weird.
Uh-huh.
And why are we not just talking on the Switch? Why do we need an app on the phone?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I wish I knew.
I just really hope that they have at least one cable that comes out of one side of the dongle and then loops around and plugs into the other side of the dongle.
Just like to ground everything.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Exactly.
I really hope so too.
And they're just all having a good laugh about it. You know?
Can you believe what we did? Can you believe people are actually buying this thing?
What silly Americans.
I will say, from now on, whenever I need to do voice chat in a game, I'm just going to use Discord.
Discord. There you go.
I know, but then you don't get the game audio.
You don't get it.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah.
You get it through the dongle.
I have this headset that I'm wearing right now actually has a separate microphone and audio input thing, so hopefully
don't worry, Gabe, all you have to do, you come out of your computer audio into the dongle.
Jeez,
out
Louise.
Of the dongle into your headphones,
yeah,
and also the Switch into the dongle,
yeah, exactly,
dongle into the dongle and then dongle back into the Switch and then from there into your computer. It's simple.
And
simple.
you just pray that there's no water around anywhere within 300 yards of your house.
Yeah, simple.
Oh, gosh. So, last news item here. Telltale has announced Batman, The Enemy Within,
mm-hmm.
The Walking Dead's final season, mm-hmm. and The Wolf Among Us 2. Glory be!
Oh,
you.
My gosh. I'm so happy.
Glory be!
I'm so happy.
Finally!
Yes!
What the heck took so long?
I don't know.
It took so long.
The funny thing about is the day before they announced this, there was a rumor don't expect Wolf Among Us 2 anytime soon.
Oh, those dirty rats.
That's
they pulled David Jaffe on us.
Yeah. I couldn't believe. I was like, I'm currently like over 1,000 tweets behind on my Twitter timeline right now. I haven't caught up yet. So I just actually saw that tweet after I already knew that they announced Wolf Among Us 2. And I was like, wait a minute. Where is this rumor coming from that Game Informer posted? Because they just announced it today. So do you think that was Telltale?
We got to get to the bottom of this real quick, though.
Okay.
You read all the tweets?
I read every tweet of every person I am following, yes.
Oh my gosh, how do you keep up?
He's 1,000 behind.
I'm about 1,000 behind right now. So.
But I see what I see. I get lucky sometimes and I see a funny one, and then I gotta skip ahead. I just don't have enough life to see them all.
I'm lucky because I have a Twitter app that's still sequential, which is rare nowadays. And it leaves off where like the last place that you looked. So when I open it again, it just leaves me off right where I was. So I figure I might as well just continue scrolling and reading as fast as I can, and I'll get like 100 or 200 tweets in a good tweet reading session. And
nice.
I like to catch all the news.
I totally get it. Sometimes I work all day, and I'm like, man, I just can't wait to go home and just punish myself.
I don't know. I follow some quite delightful people, and I enjoy their tweets. So,
oh, thank you, David.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you.
One of them for sure. And Mike and Gabe, the MTTG Twitter account. It's good. It's quality stuff.
MTT to the G.
Exactly. Don't act like you've been there.
I have been. I read it.
.org.
Plus, wait, was I your what number follower was I? Do you remember? Was I like your 3,000th or more than that? Like
you were right on the number. One of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I can't remember what number it was, but I was like, wow.
Yeah, you were definitely late to the party, though.
Oh man. You guys ready for the tweets?
I am. Yes.
All right.
I'm not.
Oh.
I'm not. I'm sorry.
You're not ready.
Mike, this is your thing.
It is, but I feel obligated. I feel obligated that even though we are running long, it's going to be a long episode, you guys. I'm so sorry.
It's going to be a good one.
I certainly hope so.
I don't know why you're sorry, because everyone loves it when it's a long episode, except for Mike. Everyone,
I don't know. I always get worried because I think maybe it's too long.
It was our number one complaint for Married to the Games when we first started.
Was how long was the episodes were?
Were not long enough.
Oh, not long enough. Oh. Okay. Yeah, well,
they couldn't get enough.
Yeah. Okay.
They could not get enough.
Well, you know when you're listening to a podcast, you're driving to work, and then it ends, and you're still like 15 minutes from work. You're like, oh, dang, I wish that podcast was a little longer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, our podcast is good for those people who have like 3-hour commutes. So we have one last news item.
Oh, heavens.
I'm sorry to have to be one who bad news.
I can't help but notice that you didn't post this to our subreddit, though.
No, I didn't. I didn't have the heart. I didn't have the heart.
It's whatever. Well, because David.
Oh, no.
I think this is an intervention.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mom,
you're surrounded by people who love you.
Yeah, but who are also very angry with you.
All right.
Because today you told me something I couldn't believe it when I heard it, considering the show that we do.
Okay.
Strikes at the heart of this show. David.
Oh, yeah. I'm nervous.
David has never watched The Running Man.
Ugh. Oof.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
I've watched every good Arnold movie, but I haven't seen The Running Man.
Oh, okay. See, this is where we have the problem at now.
Oh, my gosh.
Excommunicated!
David, I don't even know what that is.
You don't know what The Running Man is?
Besides a dance.
The 1987 Schwarzenegger classic, The Running Man?
Yeah.
No.
Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger? You guys never seen it? What's going on?
I've never even heard of it.
What?
Yeah, I was only partially even aware of its existence.
I was getting really excited because I'm pretty sure that movie takes place in like 2019, so we should be like, we should be in Running Man status in like 2 more years.
We're so close.
And we're so close, you guys.
Yeah, the premise, of course, the premise of this classic Arnold film is that all the criminals get sent onto this deadly, deadly game show. And that's how they execute their prisoners. And Arnold, wrongfully accused, I believe.
Yes.
Has to go on, fight for his survival. He fights Jesse the Body Ventura, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And, it's got Richard Dawson. Richard Dawson is the main villain.
I don't know who
that is. Oh my gosh, David, killing me.
Oh, he's from Family Feud, okay.
Well, he's not from Family Feud, but he hosted Family Feud for many years.
Was he the one that always kissed the women on the mouth?
Yes, that's exactly who he was.
That's weird.
I think he got his start on Hogan's Heroes. I can't remember.
Definitely a villain. Only villains kiss women that they don't know on the mouth.
And not only that, he's got the best villain name. I'm pretty sure his name is like Damon Killian or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So it's basically demon killing.
Like T-Bone.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Man, that movie's so good. And I can't believe you haven't watched it.
I remember seeing this cover for The Running Man, and I think I remember just assuming it was a Terminator movie of some kind.
Because, I mean, everything
is like the grayscale kind of pixelated.
Yeah, it just looks like a Terminator cover.
I feel like basically with Arnold, it's everything from Conan the Barbarian through True Lies is required viewing.
Yeah, it's like 1994 and back. You got
to... Yeah. I mean, you don't to watch Hercules in Manhattan or whatever it is.
You can go and skip that.
No, Hercules in Manhattan.
You don't have to watch that one.
That was like one of his first.
That's a real thing.
His voice,
it's like his first real movie.
His voice is dubbed, and it's like, "Hi, I'm Hercules." You know, it's like the weirdest thing.
You know what? I changed my mind. You got to go watch that movie too.
So I haven't seen Hercules in New York. I've seen like 5 minutes of it, and I knew it wasn't for me. Half of the appeal of Arnold Schwarzenegger is his voice. So I can't not watch.
Right.
I can't watch a movie without his voice.
I want to say there's a cut somewhere in the internet that has his actual voice, but he was even worse at English than he is in Conan. So if you can believe it, and that's why they dubbed over his voice. Anyway,
I don't know. So yeah, I probably won't be watching The Running Man.
David, I need a commitment out of you that you will.
Yeah.
What did I just say?
Watch The Running Man, because I need you to say that you will watch it, because I'm not so certain that I can even get Arnold to come back on the show until you do.
Just don't tell him. He'll never know.
Whoa.
Well, we already said it. I mean,
cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, it's out there now.
No, it's Whoa. Not. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
it's out there.
It's we said it on the show and we said
is
it on Discord.
He here right
it's in
now?
Both places.
Well, he's not.
He listens
he's
to the
not
show,
here, but he listens so, religiously.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. My parents don't listen to this podcast. Why does Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I need every single person who listens to our show to go ahead and tweet it. David, he needs to watch The Running Man.
Yes,
you can do that for me,
please.
But you're only allowed to tweet it if you've watched it too. There you go.
I guess, yeah, let's not have any hypocrites now.
You can't just tell me to watch it if you've never seen it.
I mean, I don't have any way to verify that, so it's on the honor system. A wink.
All I'm going to say, though, I probably won't watch it anyway. So
you're a monster, David. And I don't know why you like to hurt me.
He's so rebellious.
Yeah, but that's the only thing, dude. We just needed to watch it real quick. And then and we'll go from there, you know.
This is seriously one of my favorite Arnold movies of all time, and
it's
I can't
so
believe
good.
You didn't watch it.
It's so good.
I'll take okay. you guys' word
There's
for
no
this.
Way it's good.
We can do Twitter now, I guess, that I'm horribly depressed.
All right, the tweets.
Okay, the tweets. You guys want to start with community or regular question? You know what? Actually, you know what? I'm going to mix it completely up. I changed my mind. I do that. It's my show.
It's our show?
You've got the floor.
Well, Twitter's my show.
Yeah, you've got the floor.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
for it.
Man, my phone battery's low here. We're going to start off, as soon as I get my phone app open, we're going to start off with a Would You Rather.
Oh,
because we got
man.
We got a couple of these from Miss May, and these are going to be some good palate
cleansers
right here.
Oh my gosh,
right
the wow. Would You Rathers this Fortnite,
they're brutal.
Yeah,
oh, they're
boy.
So good.
Doggone it.
So thank you once again, Maya, for sending this over. Okay, you guys, number one. Would you rather play through the entirety of Ori and the Blind Forest, reimagined by Michael Bay? Or the entirety of Journey, reimagined by Tim Burton.
Oh,
Journey,
yeah,
for sure.
Journey for sure. Not
by
even.
Tim Burton?
Yeah,
no,
I love
thank
Tim
you.
Burton.
Yeah.
Tim Burton's one
I
of
have
my
no,
favorites.
Journey. I don't even have the attachments to Ori and the Blind Forest. You can burn that game down. Don't touch Journey.
Okay.
It's too good.
I feel like if it's reimagined by Tim Burton, but he put Batman in there instead
Ooh.
Of... Then I'll
no,
go.
No, no. What's going to happen is going to take the cloak off and it's going to be Johnny Depp the whole time.
But wait.
I can deal with that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That wasn't a Tim Burton movie that happened in.
Ah, man.
No, it's just every Tim Burton movie that happens in that.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's true. Okay. It would be Johnny Depp. Ah, you got me.
Yeah.
When's the last time Johnny
can
Depp
you live
and
with
collaborated,
that?
Though?
Yeah, you know what?
I think it was Willy Wonka.
I really don't want Journey to be spoiled, so I'm going to go ahead and say I got to... Ori is on the altar being sacrificed here so I can keep Journey.
Jeez,
Ori,
Louise.
You're done. Sorry. I loved you. You're done.
You gotta do all those explosions.
So many explosions.
Oh my god!
It won't even make sense.
It's like you get to the like the owl and it's Megan Fox.
Of course,
the
of course it would be
the sexiest owl you've ever seen.
Will be new Megan Fox, where it's like, is she sexy? She's sexy a little bit if I blur my eyes. I remember the good old days.
I'm with it. I get
stand
it.
By my statement.
No, I'm with you. Okay. We got another Would You Rather.
Okay. Now,
I don't know if it's just as bad.
Are these from the Origami Killer?
No, I think they're from
Maya. It
doesn't say
that. I think they're just from Maya.
I think it did.
The Origami Killer does something different.
Oh, maybe it is. No, never mind. She signed it. I didn't scroll all the way down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's Origami Killer.
It is the Origami Killer. Oh, okay.
Man.
Yeah.
Because I remember asking the Origami Killer, is there an option to not answer these and to instead remove a finger with a shard of glass? So, you know. I'm just saying. She said no.
Okay.
I mean, he or she said no. The Origami Killer. We don't know.
So, the second one, this is a real rough one for me, especially. I think this one might have been a little targeted, but I'll go ahead and read it for everyone. Would you rather replace the cutscenes in the Mass Effect series with live-action ones? Little FMV action.
Oh, gosh.
Or would you have... I can't even read it. It hurts me. Or have Nickelback redo the soundtrack for Transistor. Darren Korb is out. Nickelback is out.
Oh, that would be... So, oh, gosh.
I have to say, I have a soft spot in my heart for all the awful 90s FMV cutscenes that we got.
Oh, man.
On PlayStation Amen. 1. I kind of love them, and I feel like...
I feel like
I would love... some Mass Effect live-action cutscenes. As terrible as they would be, I would
Here's
love
the thing,
them.
Right? Would they... they'd have to be as bad as the old FMVs, right?
Right.
Like sewer shark level.
Everyone has a perm.
Please.
I just green feel like screening, you see like hard pixels around their hair.
That know? Whole scene.
Everybody's in a nightgown.
Yes. I feel like
the whole
like
scene
a Mass Effect Night Trap mashup.
I would say Mass Effect 2 where everyone's getting kidnapped, it's Night Trap.
Yeah.
It's
basically,
Night Trap.
Exactly. Basically, when you'd be playing, it's like Mass Effect, and then all of a sudden it's Deep Space Nine. That's what I'm imagining.
Exactly. That's perfect.
That's exactly
although
what it is.
Deep Space Nine is the best Star Trek series. Fight me. But
wait, what?
I don't like Star Wars.
I thought you were a hardcore TNG apologist.
I like TNG, but no, I'm a Deep Space Nine apologist.
I mean, you got Professor X in there. You got Reading Rainbow guy.
Great cast.
I mean,
but Deep Space LeVar. Nine is better.
Yeah,
yeah.
Professor X, man.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
It's cool. TNG had a great cast, but Deep Space Nine is better.
All right,
it was the first serialized series.
Yeah, I feel like if you defile the music on my precious transistor, of course I gave unprecedented 6 out of 5 burritos.
yeah,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Then we're gonna have fighting words. So yeah, I think it's definitely live action cutscenes for Mass Effect, and they're gonna be
so delightfully
bad.
Yeah, it would be a different game, but it would be great.
Oh gosh! Oh,
I don't think the cutscenes are that
you know
great.
What?
In the first,
speaking of,
well, hold on. Let's not say things we can't take back.
So, Gabe, just to fill you in, Mass Effect is Mike's Star Wars.
Yeah,
like you know how everyone loves Star Wars. That's Mass Effect for Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right. You
basically just slapped Mike in the face just now.
No.
But it's okay. Your hands were very soft. It's all right.
Exactly. But you guys have heard Nickelback,
oh,
right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh man. I just.
We can't.
It would. I don't even want to think about it. We got to move on.
Exactly. We can't have that.
Yeah.
Like I've dry heaved like 3 times off mic.
Oh, you know what? I completely forgot.
What's
Journey.
That?
Journey kind of jogged my memory. I played Abzu. It was so short that I blew past it, but yeah
and you forgot about it.
it was 2 hours of beautiful underwater dreams coming true. I got to hold on to an orca and jump out of the ocean and jump back, splash back in. It was glorious.
Oh, that's cool.
It was a very pretty game. It's not as good as Journey, but how could it be, you know?
It's
yeah,
true.
It's rough,
but yeah, it was good. And I would actually I don't know. We probably won't get into spoilery kind of territory on that unless we did like a tiny little spoiler cast for it. But there's some, I'm curious to see what people's interpretation of that game was. Cause I have kind of, Mike and I did some chatting over some burritos, of course.
Yeah,
and,
of course, as we do.
And then kind of went over like what we got out of the game, like what we thought the themes were and all that stuff. And it was an interesting, thought provoking talk. That said, I'm going to have to say 3.5 out of 5 burritos.
That's okay. Fair. All right. That's pretty
now
good.
Now just go ahead and take this and edit it, put the beginning of the show where it belongs.
Yeah.
Because now you're in my territory. And I don't like it one bit.
Now, guys, before you tweet at Adam and you're mad at only giving 3.5 out of 5 burritos, that's, I mean, 3.5 is pretty good. It's above average.
It's pretty good.
It's a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's nothing to shake your wiener at.
Yeah, exactly.
What the world?
To quote Adam, I don't remember why you were saying that, but it was.
I've never said such a thing in my life, David.
You said it on our very podcast. It has stuck with me ever since. And I always get a reaction like Gabe's.
All right.
Let's get into Twitter questions proper.
Yes.
The people, they want to talk to Gabe.
Yeah, they really do
want to talk to Gabe.
I got
to
make this
what?
Happen. Yeah.
We put the vibe out.
That's weird.
We let them know you're going to be on.
Yeah.
First they didn't know Chocolate Destiny was coming.
Destiny. Oh man,
is that your
it doesn't sound as good,
and
it doesn't sound half as good.
When Gabe and I get together and we're like, we're breaking, as they say,
right?
Oh yeah,
I mean it's
cardboard down.
It's like a vanilla chocolate swirl, is what they call it.
Ooh,
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
It's
like
amazing.
It's real nice.
Blow your mind.
Yeah, exactly. We've killed 3 young children like that from their heads exploding.
I see.
Investigation still pending.
Do you guys want to sing Ebony and Ivory while we're here? Or, I won't stop you.
If there wasn't the lag, we'd be getting it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is good. This is
Russell good Biggerstaff wrote in and said, "Wow, Gabe is back. I enjoy MTTG2. This should be fun. Sure, you guys already planned, but let's hear about Destiny 2. We already talked about Destiny 2, and we're talking more Destiny 2.
We could.
He also wanted to hear some takes on Kingdom Hearts 3. Oh. And I don't have anything to say because I can't think of anything I care less. I care less about Kingdom Hearts 3 than I care about Destiny 2.
Mike hates all good games except for Mass Effect.
What in the world is wrong with you?
might be time for you to slap him again.
I think so.
Yeah. Somebody's getting a spank.
Oh.
Oh, my.
So,
listen, Kingdom Hearts, I cannot wait.
A little
for,
saucy.
I know. I cannot wait for Kingdom Hearts 3. I don't think it'll ever come out.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know. It seems more and more likely. We have a trailer now. We have, like, lots of trailers. We have a Toy Story specific trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3, which
yeah, they,
I thought
now they claim peculiar. They claim Kingdom Hearts 3 coming in 2018. Do you believe it?
Have we seen any trailers in English? The Toy Story stuff?
No.
I haven't seen it. But yeah.
So is it going to be Tom Hanks in them?
Probably not. They have like understudies for Buzz Lightyear and Tom Hanks that sound pretty.
Yeah, there's
pretty similar.
There's nothing more I want to play than a bunch of Pixar and Disney characters with wrong voices.
No, they mostly have the right voice. Like James Woods.
No,
will
I'm
be
sure.
Back
no,
for,
I'm
for,
I'm
for,
absolutely sure they
80s.
Found a great discount Tom Hanks.
Seriously,
as long as it's Arnold playing.
Well said.
If it's Arnold playing all the characters, then I'm totally 100%.
Oh, there you go.
Well, then I'd be in, right? But that didn't happen.
Yeah. So
you don't know.
So I like that they're able to delve into like the Pixar kind of characters and stuff. I assume it's going to happen. This game is going to be in my house because I live with a bunch of Disney fanatics.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, at some point I'm going to be playing this thing or at least seeing it being played. But yeah, I didn't play any of the other Kingdom Hearts games, so I don't know if it's going to be kind of like newbie friendly. If I'm going to be able to just jump in and have a good
time. That's a good question. Yeah.
Or if it's going to be like. You know, oh, well, if you didn't play Birth by Sleep 2.8-5, then, well, you're just not going to know.
International remix.
The international remix. You're not going to know what the heck's going on.
Oh, yeah. King 1.2.
Yeah.
I'll definitely be playing Kingdom Hearts 3. I cannot wait. It looks awesome. I played 1. I think I played 2 but didn't beat it. And I won't be going back to do it. But... I can't wait to play this game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Gabe, you're in luck because you can pick up the collection, which includes Birth by Going to Sleep 1.2 plus dash 5.
I won't be doing it.
Oh, gosh. And I think the subtitle of that one is Back in the Saddle.
Oh, that was
right.
Surprisingly straightforward.
Yeah,
all they're missing is Tyler Perry presents Kingdom Hearts Death by Sleep 3.8.
Oh, that's really good.
The legend, Mama the Dump. Legend of Curly's Gold.
Exactly.
Right.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, Medea's adventures with Sora.
Let's move on to not bad games.
Yeah.
Eric Kruger wrote in. And asked, what's Gabe's current outgoing voicemail message?
Oh, man.
I know. Okay, so a little backstory.
Yeah, I don't understand this question.
I always did songs for my voicemail outgoing messages.
Oh.
So when people would call, there were always songs. And I would switch them like every year or 6 months or 8 months back when I was young and creative. And now, a couple years ago, I was trying to think of a new song and I wanted to take off the one I had on there because it had been on there a while. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to just have the standard, like, you've reached, my number. And then I never thought of one ever. And so I have like the generic Kill Gabe in Kill All My Dreams as a child. Like as a teenager, I'd be pissed at myself right now.
Oh, no.
Like, you have the standard outgoing message?
Oh,
you're like, yeah, I know. It'd be like, what happened to you? I don't even know you.
Gabe, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to...
Yeah, maybe it should be, believe it or not, here's... Gabe isn't at home to leave a message. At the beat. Go for it.
Let's, I mean, let's yeah, be man. Fair. in this day and age, if you're leaving me a voicemail,
yeah,
I'm not going to listen to it anyway.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you could have done.
That was the point, was that like you wanted to offer up enough entertainment that next thing you know, the beep is happening and you kind of have to leave a message.
Oh, okay. See, I think where Mike's coming from, that he doesn't want the message. If you call me and I can't pick up, just text me. That is a way quicker way to get a response.
Also, just don't call me. Only text.
If I look at my phone and it's like, Mike, you've got a voicemail, it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm so angry, whoever this is.
It has gotten to the point, though, like, if someone calls me, I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong? What's going on? Is someone in the hospital?
Right, exactly. Yeah, but let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
What if your outgoing message, when you couldn't answer the phone and they're trying to reach you and they couldn't? I'm all about making people smile.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so that was the goal. Was like, oh man, listen to this song. Game. Oh, he switched it. That's dope.
Oh man.
So I had a bunch of songs as voicemails. That's why he's asking.
All right.
And I don't have one right now.
Oh.
I only remember two of them.
Well, that question's getting edited out.
No, it's not. That's silly.
Travis Roberts wrote in and asked, can you ask Gabe to give us an Arnold impression?
Ooh.
Oh, my.
I mean, this is the show for it.
This is.
I would, but I heard he's not going to be on the show no more until Tate watches the run.
It's pretty rough, well, right? Least, I mean, I would.
At least until he gives us some kind of commitment, right? Like, he's going to watch it within 30 days or something, you know?
Yeah, I'm not. Yep. I'm not doing that though. So.
Oh man.
So sorry. I'm really sorry, Travis. But Dave literally just told Gabe he can't do that for you.
Exactly.
So
I need you to go ahead and
again, I need you to tweet at David. I need you to tweet at David. Maybe next time Gabe is on. Maybe next time Gabe is on, we can do this.
Gabe clearly just doesn't want to do an Arnold impression right now.
No, Gabe is respecting the show. He's respecting our space. Yeah.
I walked in the front door. I took off my shoes.
Yeah.
I'm not tracking mud through the house.
Yeah, exactly. So tweet at David J. Tate.
I'm sorry they're doing this to you, Travis.
My hands are tied, Travis.
I was really personally looking forward to this.
Yeah, I was too. I really was.
Yeah.
Well, you two as well could tweet at David J. Tate.
Yeah, I know. I will.
Oh, I think I will. I think I will. Right
when the episode airs, 100%.
Mike and Adam specifically, don't tweet me. Don't at me.
I'm tweeting you right now as we speak while we record.
Oh my gosh.
You should.
Okay, next question.
Give a little bit of a teaser.
No, I'm with you. John Robani wrote in and said, lately I've been playing an old console. I've been on an old... I can't read. This show, man. Why have the guy who can't read doing Twitter questions? That's not fair.
Why can't you read?
I never learned.
And you probably read a million emails per day.
Yeah, I'm kind of burnt out on reading. John Rubini wrote in and said, lately, I've been on an old console retro gaming kick. Out of curiosity, do you guys still own and play any old consoles?
Yes to own, but no to play.
Okay.
I own a Dreamcast. And is that considered old?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, ancient. Yeah, yeah. Dreamcast was, you got to figure it. Dreamcast is what, like 17, 18 years old now?
Yeah.
I think we may have listeners younger than the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah,
probably
for sure.
Do. Man, the Dreamcast is great, though. I still have mine. I still break it out once in a while.
I want to say I do, but I don't. I also have an Atari, and I have the Retron 5.
Oh, nice.
I have no idea what that is. Is that one of those... like multiple, play multiple games.
Pop all the different cartridges in.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So it plays Famicom, SNES, NES, Genesis, and Game Boy Advance games.
Oh, that's cool. I like the idea of playing Game Boy Advance on a TV because they were basically Super Nintendo games. So that's cool.
Exactly.
I own I own an Atari, an NES, an SNES, an N64. I think I still have my PS1 somewhere. It's probably at my parents' house. I still have my Xbox One, my original Xbox, I'm sorry. My Xbox 360, my PS3, they're not that old. Let's see. I have a Game Boy Advance, a Nintendo DS. Does that count as old? I don't know. There it is. But I play none of them except for my PS4.
Exactly.
So I still have my shrine, right, of console history. So it starts with the Atari 2600, then the NES, then the Genesis, then the PlayStation 1. So just the first four of my first four consoles. And then the PlayStation still works. The actually, all of them work except for the Atari 2600.
My NES definitely doesn't work.
Yeah. So, but I also have the NES Classic, so I've been playing some Sweet Sweet Excitebike on that. Loving that.
Oh, nice.
Ooh-wee.
The kids are making their impossibly hard tracks for dad. So, but yeah.
That's
yeah,
good parenting.
I love the just how easy it is to access, how good they look on the big screen now. So, definitely like the this Nintendo making custom retro consoles for me.
They just need to make more of them.
Yeah, just make more of them, you know. So people, you know, maybe people who aren't as big of Nintendo fans didn't hop at the opportunity fast enough, like David, you know, he can get one.
Or yeah. Tried his darndest and never found it anywhere.
Amen.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I still got a few of consoles. The only one I ever break out anymore, if I'm feeling in the mood, would be my Dreamcast. In case I just got an itch to play some Crazy Taxi or like Jet Set Radio.
Yeah, there you go.
Good games. Very good games.
So good.
Yeah.
Great soundtrack. It's probably one of my favorite soundtracks.
It's good, right?
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. I listened to it on Spotify the other day.
That's awesome. You know, I still sometimes pull out the old Daytona music because it's just hilarious.
It's so ridiculous.
Rolling Star! It's
exactly.
So
oh, dear.
No, it's all about
very good.
Blue sky.
Ooh, that's really good. Yeah.
Blue sky. Let's be.
Sky. It's just the weirdest.
Oh man, Daytona, the best music ever. I wish I could get it on vinyl. You know, just listen to it all day.
By the way, you should go look for. On YouTube, the guy who sang those songs re-recorded them and recorded himself singing them, like video of it.
No way.
And it's just really fun to see that guy because he looks exactly like how you would expect him to. Like, he's just super happy, super happy to be there, so into it. You know, it's amazing.
As his mom brings him dinner downstairs in the basement. Here, baby, I heard you singing. I thought you might be hungry.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, goodness. All right, let's wrap this thing up. We've got our episode 74 community question.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think, was written by Adam.
Yes, indeed.
With 3,000 person long lines for the Switch in Japan, at this point, does it look really good or really bad for Nintendo? And we got a pretty good amount of responses to this.
I mean, the console's been out, what, 4 months now?
4 months now, and Reggie promised us this time no
this
shortages.
This isn't going to happen.
They were going to meet demand.
They're going to meet demand. Yeah, and that those 3,000 people that were in line, that there's a picture on Kotaku with this story. There were only 250 Switches, and they were all lining up to see if they could get. You know, they were all going to get raffle tickets to see if they could win a chance to buy.
Oh, my gosh!
It. Yeah, it's bad. I mean,
ooh, that is
not to editorialize, but it's very bad.
I mean,
very bad.
They've already answered at this point. You can't change their opinions now.
Yeah.
So I wanted to run through a couple of quick answers that we got from the community, and then I wanted to get kind of your guys' take on this. Soak7 said, it's only good if the people in line are getting Switches. Well, Adam kind of just answered that for you. That's not happening.
Yeah, that's not happening.
John Rubania wrote in and said, they know they can't repeat their poor sales again if they want any chance of success. Hopefully they can get enough out in time for the holidays. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a really good point. I can't imagine this shortage lasting until the end of this year.
That would be
in the
crazy.
Holiday season, but man.
I mean, but with the Wii.
Only because of what happened with the Wii.
Remember
the
Wii, it was like a year until you could really find one easily.
Right.
Yeah,
and I've got a used one. Like I just happened to call the right GameStop, and I said, "Hey, I know this is a stupid question, but do y'all happen to have any Wiis over there?" He goes, "Actually, a guy just brought one in." I said, "Can you put my name on it?" And so I left work early, went and picked it up, and there was still like, I remember there was like a point system is how you would buy games. It wasn't like a dollar amount or something like that, and there was still like $5 worth of credit on there from the last guy that owned it.
Oh. Huh.
So I bought Excite Bike.
Nice.
He's perfect. It's been a very we've talked a lot about Excite Bike tonight.
Oh,
for
man.
Some reason.
Yeah, well, it's a good game.
It's a great game.
But Mike, to your point, the only thing I worry about is them getting them out. Does that sacrifice quality if you try to speed up the process?
Well, here's what I wonder. Is this a holdup in the process? Has 4 months not been enough time to manufacture enough Nintendos? Or is this classic artificial demand from Nintendo?
Keep it sold out
all the time because it looks great in the press. It sounds like it's the greatest console out because you can't get one. They're too popular.
I know, but at some point, you're going to have the people at the end of the line, like, you know, I'm just creating a picture here, but like, say you have a line of 3,000 people.
Yeah.
I would say not all 3,000 people end up getting Nintendo Switches that were in that line.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas.
So you're going to have the ones that walk away. And so does that help you or does that hurt you? You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, there was speculation, like, right after the Switch came out that there was a component shortage and that's why they couldn't get, you know, all of them manufactured as quickly. And part of it's Apple's fault because they manufacture so many iPads and iPhones. And so they're using a lot of those same gizmos, you know, that are in the Switch. So I don't know. It seems like, man, sort it out after 4 months, you know?
Yeah. So to me, it seems like Nintendo's always been very cautious about creating, like manufacturing their hardware. And so my personal speculation about this is that basically in their minds, they're manufacturing tons of these Switches and they just can't keep up with demand. But what I think might really be happening is they're just not willing to risk making any consoles that won't sell. You know what I mean? Like, I bet you that it's completely within their ability to manufacture more Switches, but they don't want to because they're, you know, so conservative about estimates and they want to make sure they know for sure every, like, Switch console will sell.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think that was definitely the case when they, and part of the reason why they would launch in March, right? I mean, they bring it out in March. If it doesn't sell that well, they haven't manufactured all that many, and no harm, no foul. But if it does sell really well, okay, now we have time to ramp up production and have enough for the holidays. Hopefully that is the case and not like what Gabe and I saw, which was like a year later, still getting lucky to get one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would not put it past Nintendo to, as they ramp up manufacturing for the holidays, to just go ahead and hold consoles back.
Until closer
to
December.
Yeah, through the end of the summer. Yeah, once we get closer,
yeah,
we get into
stockpile.
Like end of September, early October, then they start releasing them to retailers.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
just because
I can see that too, because I think holding it until like, and this is going to sound weird, and I know this is not apples to apples, but say you hold a big stock until the Scorpio comes out or the Xbox One X, like it makes the Switch extremely attractive.
Oh, that's true.
Because the Scorpio is going to be so expensive.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to sway some people. So if you have a bunch come out when that's coming out, then you get a little bit of market share. Going
I mean, I just think like, okay, so there's probably a lot of people right now, they're looking to get a Switch. They can't seem to find one. They look on the shelf where the Switch should be. Right next to that is Xbox One S and PlayStation 4 for cheaper than the Switch with a game.
Right.
You know, it's like...
And a controller.
You know, like all this... It seems like, you know, you could get the Uncharted or Last of Us or, you know, whatever bundle. And it's going to be cheaper than getting a Switch. And yeah, that one's right there. You know, sorry, Johnny. I know you wanted for Christmas, you wanted this Switch, but guess what? You got a PS4. Sweet. You know, I just,
yeah,
it's, I feel like they're missing out.
I see that point, but the mobility of the Switch.
No, and I won't argue.
Is unmatched by any of those other
ones.
I won't argue with you.
The Switch, I love being able to take the Switch in the car and play Mario Kart or whatever it is. You know, play some Zelda on the plane for 10 minutes before they tell me to put it away. But
exactly.
I love that. But
yeah, that's the best part.
It's my favorite thing about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know.
Yeah. It's pretty mixed in the community too. You know, it seems like the consensus for most folks is that this is great, it's killing, or, you know, oh, how could they be doing this? They're losing so much business type of deal.
Yeah.
You know, Miss May wrote in and said, you know, this is bad. It's a constant issue for them. The novelty of a rare product has completely worn off.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Kruger wrote in and said, high demand is great. The Switch was Nintendo's last real chance at a console after the Wii U flop, and they nailed it. Now give me Smash.
Now give me Smash.
Yeah. You know, we got several responses, but that's kind of like, that's what seems like to be like with the gamut that runs. Everyone's either like, yeah, it's fantastic. They're selling them because they're so popular. And other people, you know, just like, just make more of these things. This is dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Nintendo's just holding back for conservative sake. And I think they need to just bite the bullet, make some more, and do it. And do good, and everyone will love it, and yeah, then everyone will love them.
I'm kind of with I'm with Gabe on this. Like, I really want Nintendo to be successful, you know, like I love Nintendo, but it's been a long time since Nintendo could be your one console, right? Like
it's,
you know, it's been at least a couple generations where your Nintendo console is your second console or your third console or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I want them to do well. I want them to make a bunch of these and you know, sell a bajillion games, and because I love my Switches. The hardware wise, like the jump between the Wii U hardware and the Switch hardware is just like light years. It is incredibly designed, like so
it
much
really
better.
Is.
It's almost like, is this the same company that made this? You know, made these two products back to back. So yeah, I just want them to do well and sell a million of them. So
the Wii U feels like the Switch prototype that they accidentally released.
It leaked out.
That's so
yeah,
true.
The Wii U leaked out on accident, and then they're like, oh, crap.
Exactly. You know,
well, I guess we got to...
And nobody bought it.
Nobody bought it. But yeah, I just want them to do well, so that way we keep getting great games for the Switch for a long time to come. So that's all I'm saying.
Amen.
And that's all the Twitter questions. Well, it's not all of them, but it's all I'm going to read tonight, because, man, this is going long.
Podbean, you guys. Podbean.
Oh, hey, Podbean.
Are you familiar with Podbean, Gabe?
I've heard of it, yes.
All right. Well, in case you, Gabe, and if one day you decide you want to start a podcast, like your old chums here at SBF EGS.
Right.
You know,
Because
I know.
Like my heroes.
You know, inspiring young people everywhere to start up gaming podcasts. You know how mm-hmm. SBF EGS does, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I've got a dream of having like 253 episodes released.
You know, that dream could come true if you sign up for Podbean at podbean.com/SBFVGS. Now, I can recommend these guys with a clear conscience, because I feel like we've had no problems on this hosting service. All our episodes have always been rock solid. 74 nice. Fortnights running. I mean, that's a lot of Fortnights, you guys.
Yeah, so far they haven't dropped the ball one time.
I know.
So, yeah.
And once they have dropped the ball that one time, then we'll say, you know, they only dropped the ball that one time.
That's true.
Out of 79, you know, Fortnites or whatever.
Yeah. It's still a really good sales pitch.
They only screwed us over completely just the one time.
Exactly.
But as of right now, they're batting 1,000. You can sign up with our link that helps support the show at podbean.com/SBFVGS. All right, Michael, your topic, good sir. We're in the meat and potatoes, in the thick of
We made it.
Yeah.
I know.
We made it. We did make it.
We made it to our topic. And I'm sure, here. Certainly, this will be a short, taut topic.
Yes.
Only time will
Let's
tell.
Let's hear it.
5-minute topic.
Nope.
So
meaning of life.
Meaning of life. I pulled this topic from the community because I'm lazy, but also because it's very good.
It is a good one.
It's a good one.
And your community's awesome.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
I agree with that 100%.
I'm a fan. So, young Steve Harvey wrote in.
And actually, I think we know it's Jessica.
Yeah, you can't fool me, Jessica. I know it's you. And he wrote in and asked, is it okay for younger gamers to not like quote-unquote classics? I'm really trying hard to like Crash Bandicoot since I'm getting the remaster. but I'm just so meh about it. Is being born in 98 the reason for my dislike, or do these games just not age well? And if so, am I in the wrong? So I saw that question. I was like, it's one, that's a really, really good question. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, I wanted to kind of go down that line of thinking with you guys and see what you thought about the classic games, you know, that we like. At least I'm an old man. I can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not. Speak for yourself. I'm definitely not.
That's true. I'm younger than you.
you're only as young as you feel, as old as you feel, Mike. And I feel very young. So
then I'm ancient.
Yeah.
Are some of these games like I kind of get what you're saying, like, you know, with Crash Bandicoot, are some of these games sort of a moment in time? You know, are they encapsulated for when they came out?
Mm-hmm.
And without the context of when that came out, do you lose the appeal? You know, is it more of a you had to be there for this to make sense to you? And that's it. And we're good to go. Off to the races. Yeah. Dave, you got the reins on this now.
Go for it.
I think it's both.
I agree.
So PS1 ages extremely poorly.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, it does.
SNES ages gracefully.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. gracefully. Somehow.
And so it's hard for, with the example of Crash Bandicoot, I'm like, okay, well, I can see that. But like Super Mario World, I still think is like one of the greatest games ever made.
You can still pick it up and play it right
and
now.
And Nintendo had a way of doing their graphics in such a way that it just aged so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you know,
and so I think
in some ways that's
a little
still,
bit of both.
In some ways that still like applies to Super Mario 64, even though it's the same console generation as PS1, Super Mario 64 is still pretty fun to play. And for that, they nailed the controls and how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
Gameplay first. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's a problem with Crash Bandicoot in particular. Like, a lot of the gameplay mechanics have not aged well. Like, the hit detection's a little bit weird. And I know some of that is the remastering process. Like, I read somewhere they, like, rounded some edges and that changed the hitbox size for some reason.
Right.
And that's weird. And
the jumping change.
So,
yeah, it's actually, the Crash trilogy is actually supposed to be harder than the original in certain ways. So,
The remaster is harder for some reason,
yep.
Which is bizarre. But anyway, I interrupted you, Gabe. Sorry about that.
No, but I mean, the point that I think is like, number one, I think it's okay to not like the stuff before you came along.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't be expected from my kids to like Fuji's The Score, even though I think it's one of the best albums of all time.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, hold on now.
But what I'm saying is like I can't be forced to like whatever my parents liked. I can't be expected to like it because we're in a new era. And so PS1 and PS2 for me age bad.
Mm-hmm.
But Smash, like the first Smash is so fun. The first Mario Kart is still so fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's nostalgia talking, but the gameplay that Nintendo was able to pull off back then I feel like still translates really well.
I think you hit on something really important there, is that it's the games that are super solid with gameplay that it's you can definitely overlook if the graphics are not great or modern, or you can mm-hmm. or if the story doesn't make any sense. The gameplay, if it's so good, and that's gonna endure, right? I mean, like you look at games like even games that are super basic the way they look, but a game like Tetris, it's just an ingenious concept that stands the test of time. It doesn't matter what it looks like, it's just fun.
Miss Pac-Man,
you know? And, you know...
And I'm like, why does Super Mario World look better than Lara Croft's Tomb Raider, the first one?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But they were trying to do so much.
I think that's exactly it. Like, if you look at... I'm going to make a lot of film analogies, I think, in this discussion, but, like, if you look at the movies from, like, the 70s, like Taxi Driver, or... You know, like you have these Martin Scorsese, you know, masterpieces and stuff back then, The Godfather, and it was, you know, just movies that look so incredible, and they're using like no visual effects, right? And it's all mm-hmm. in camera effects.
Right.
And then you look at a movie like from the 90s that's trying to do, like, look at Episode 2, you know, Attack of the Clones.
Really any of the prequels.
Any of the Star Wars prequels. I know I've been harping on the prequels today, but I'm just saying, look at those movies. Look at the visual effects. They're trying to do so much, but the tech isn't quite there. And so you look at a movie like from the 70s, and it looks way better than these movies 20 years later. Like, how did that happen? It's all about the maturity of the tech and when they're trying to use it. Like, even a lot of the early superhero movies that were happening in the 90s, early 2000s, you know, before Iron Man. B.I., they call it that era of superhero movie.
B.I.
Yeah, so all those, a lot of those movies had, like, a lot of really bad CG in them. A lot of them had, you know, and they just don't hold up. Even Iron Man right now, like, if you watch the original Iron Man, some of those shots don't really hold up. So, I mean, it's, even now, like, we can see, you know, one decade later, you can always tell. So, I mean, right now, the visual effects are so good in my mind that, like, it's going to be really hard to distinguish, I think. A lot of times you're seeing special effects shots and you don't even know it's an effects shot now.
Yeah.
So, but, like, I think what Gabe was talking about with, like, what your parents like, that's so important to this discussion because, like, you think about, you know, the game's medium has progressed from infancy to being incredibly sophisticated in a very short time. Like, if you, if you kind of, I would say, like, if you look at the maturity of games, you know, in the late 70s when they were kicking off all the way up till now, it's more of a spread of, like, if you compared it to film, to, like, movies your grandparents liked and the movies of today, you know, like, so, I mean, if a 40-year-old gamer is giving you crap about not liking Super Ghouls and Ghosts on the Super NES, it's like the same as grandpa giving you crap because you fell asleep watching John Wayne and, like, Rio Bravo, you know, like, it's
exactly. It's, I tried to show my daughter American Tail.
Oh,
you know, five
yeah,
on
the streets are made of cheese.
That junk does not hold up. It is so slow and depressing. She was like, where's, like, the bright colors and the songs and the happiness?
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that, you know, there are certain things that were revolutionary at the time, and that's what made them special. So if you were there for it, they still blow your mind because you can look back and you have the context of your experience of it. But, like, look at the makeup effects in, like, Citizen Kane now. You know, whereas they blew everyone's minds back then. Now it looks, oh, that's a little bit fake looking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They still are impressive for the time, and you can kind of still observe that stuff, but it's, I mean, and it's still a great movie, but you don't have to like it to be a movie enthusiast, you know, and I feel like that's the same thing. This kind of ties back into, I think what's underlying this question is, like, you know, are you going to be looked down on by gamers who did play this stuff as like uncultured in the gaming world, you know, because you never played this or you didn't like Crash or whatever. And I love Crash, but, like, I don't know if I would say any of those games are really in the pantheon of the classics, you know?
Yeah,
exactly.
So,
right.
I mean, and I'm excited. I'm going to buy that collection. It's going to be fun. I think the kids will have a good time with it and I'll have some nostalgia on it. But, like, you know, I totally get it. If you play Crash 1 and you're like, this does not control very well, you know, it's really Crash 2 and 3 that control a lot better. I think Naughty Dog was still getting their feet wet on the PlayStation. They put a lot of time and effort into making sure the engine was solid, making sure the graphics looked good. Because for the time, the graphics looked incredible on the PlayStation 1. But yeah, the gameplay just, you know, it wasn't quite there. So that the first game does not age. It doesn't hold up as well. But I think 2 and 3 are going to be much more fun to play.
Yeah, I think to an extent, though. But now here's a question. So we're all just kind of assuming that it's only Crash Bandicoot that he doesn't like, because that is what he gave as a specific example.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What if, now let's say, what if he doesn't like Super Mario World or, you know, Yoshi's Island or any of those, like, pretty classic games?
Yeah,
you know,
it starts,
like,
getting a little tougher of a discussion at that point.
Like let's give an example here. Adam, you didn't love Super Metroid.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
And a lot of people love that. They feel like it's one of the best games ever made.
Yeah.
And you didn't love it. So, like, why don't you speak to that? Like, do you feel like you're a bad gamer because you didn't like Super Metroid?
The odd thing is that I love Metroidvania games. And I just don't love the one that kind of started it all.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I started playing it. I was having fun. I was like, I was playing some bosses and having a good time. And then I think I just like, at some point, I was just like, I don't know. I don't, there's this, just, there's maybe because there's no story really to speak of.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Like, I just, I needed something more than what it was giving me. And I was like, you know, I don't know. And I just kind of put it down and never went back to it. So, but whereas, like, I sat there and I played Guacamelee until I was blue in the face. Like, I loved that game so much. I loved Ori and the Blind Forest. You know, like, there's so many Metroidvanias that I adore. But that, for whatever reason, Super Metroid just wasn't one of them. And I know that's sacrilege to most people listening to this. But yeah, I mean, I think it's totally fine not to like the classics, because that is a bona fide classic. Everyone, there's so many people would say that's the favorite game of all time, Super Metroid. You know, and
now,
they would,
now,
you know, I think that's a totally valid pick, but it's like, at the same time, I kind of missed that moment when that game was something truly special. Mm-hmm. And then when I went back to it, I had already experienced stuff that was informed by that game that maybe had improved on some of the jank. Because there's always going to be a level of jank in the old games, right? I mean,
yeah, it's true.
So, I mean, if someone else came along and smoothed it out and gave it prettier graphics and used a lot of those same core concepts that made the first one so good, and that's what I'm now used to, then it's really tough to go back and put up with the jank when I have no emotional attachment to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's true. And I would say, specifically with Super Metroid, I can kind of understand a little bit. You know, like, because games have come a long way. There's stories, you know, there's story now that, like, helps pump you along.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I totally get it. But, you know, if I were Mike right now, because I love Super Metroid, if I were Mike, I'd be saying, you know, that's a garbage opinion. Super Metroid is a great game, and you're just wrong.
Well, Mike, why don't you chime in?
So, the hard part, right, is I can't be objective about it. I grew up in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of nostalgia tied to the, you know, the quote unquote classics. But I kind of get where you're coming from, where, and you know, what Gabe is saying, like, you know, if you're born in 2000, and you really start playing games, you know, in like 2010 esque, and, you know, should you have to go back 20 years to not be criticized for not having played something? And it's like, no, probably not. I think it's right. Fine if you don't make it back to the classics. I, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't expect somebody to like Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's not very good.
It's so hard. Like,
that shows Mike being Mike again.
That's a big part of the problem there.
Right.
No, I mean, I loved Final Fantasy VII, but I can totally see someone else picking it up right now and going, man, this is janky. Like, there's so much.
I tried.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just recently tried to play it, right?
I recently tried to replay the original, the re-release on Vita, and just like, man, it's just not good, guys. It's just not. It does not hold up.
Yeah, so I mean.
But a lot of people would consider it a classic, right? So, I mean, a lot of it's tied to your nostalgia for the game. A lot of it's tied to growing up with those type of games. And so, no, I don't think you have to go back. That said, I think there are certain games listed as classics because they do hold up really well over time. Maybe they're not for everybody.
Yeah.
But there's certainly, you know, a great list of games that I think, regardless of their age, hold up really well as fun games that anybody, regardless of how old they are, could go back to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that actually this might be a fun place in the topic to insert that. Do you guys have like one classic game that you would refer somebody back to and say, you know, I know this thing came out 25 years ago or 20 years ago, what have you, but like, I still think it holds up. And I think you'd enjoy it. And no one's going to guess mine. It's out there. Whew, you never, ever, ever going to guess what it is. You were wrong.
No.
I knew it. Okay. I knew no one could guess it.
I think
Oregon Trail.
Oh, man. Solid pick, but no.
E.T. on the Atari 2600.
Very close. My second favorite game in the whole wide world.
Oh, boy.
So I assume Mike's is Chrono Trigger.
Yes, okay. Very much so.
And that game is definitely charming. As someone who missed it and then went back and played it on Vita, which I still haven't finished it, I feel bad. But
yeah, you should feel bad.
But yeah, that game is still super charming and a lot of fun. So I fully intend on playing it. It's just, it's been swallowed in my backlog.
I am fully committed to attempting to play that game again for my second or my third time. If it comes out on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, I'm sure that when Virtual Console comes, you should be able to pick it up.
Well, if there ever is a Virtual Console, I'm
sure. Sure there will be. I'm positive.
What if the NES Mini and this SNES Mini are their new Virtual Console, though?
Impossible.
Okay.
Huge, yeah, they're not.
It would be a mistake, but
I don't think they're that dumb. Because, I mean, the Virtual Console has to be a huge cash cow for them.
Especially because your games don't transfer, so you got to buy them again each time.
Yeah, you do. So,
that's true.
And I mean, this is coming from the company though that is making you plug 8 cables into a dongle to talk online while you hear your game. So
yeah, exactly. So trying to apply logic to anything Nintendo does is kind of a fool's errand at this point.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah,
but
they just want it to look like a squid.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's it. That's why they did it.
So yeah, do you guys have? I mean, everyone knew what I was going to pick. I thought everyone knew. Adam knew.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought it was going to be Final Fantasy VI.
Community knew.
I would probably say Super Mario. I'm sorry, Super Mario World.
Okay.
I think it because it just keeps giving you new stuff to do. It's like it's probably one of the best platformers ever made, in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Totally. Amen.
Yeah. So. I think because of that, that's why. It's still one of the best, and it's been around forever. So
no, it's a very good pick.
Yeah.
Adam, do you have
one? I would say I have three, but I guess you already said Super Mario World, so I won't say Super Mario Brothers, even though it's Super Mario Brothers, the original.
Yeah, the original one's all right. I kind of get bored with it after about 4 worlds, though.
I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. You're supposed to skip those worlds.
Yeah, you can warp straight to the fourth one. Come on, David.
That's true.
I would say, so my other two, though, are Metal Gear Solid. And I know that is a pick that graphically it does not age well.
No.
But the gameplay is still so good that I think that is one that holds up. I think the original...
Can we be in the middle and say the GameCube remaster?
Yeah, sure.
The Twin Snakes. The graphics are just a little bit better.
Twin Snakes. I would love...
Otherwise, it's the same.
That was like that pipe dream for a little while there when someone was making an amazing like Unreal Engine 4 remake of Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah,
but then they got sued or something and had to stop.
Oh.
But yeah, I would love the original Metal Gear Solid kind of up, you know, HD-ified like what's happening to my third pick, Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, yeah.
That game... I think that is a true classic. I can still play it. I can pick it up and play it anytime, and I still love it. It's a very special game. So
Sony agrees. That's why they're remaking it.
Yeah. Well, and that's really cool because it's one of those that graphically, you know, it's not the prettiest. I think it runs sub 480p on the PS2.
Man.
And the frames are pretty low, you know, sub 30. So, I mean, there's a PS3 version, of course, that you could play, and then it looks fine. But yeah, the new version looks gorgeous. And so, but yeah, I would say those are some timeless classics for me.
Man, I would say that there's a lot, and this is not home, but like nothing for me, and I mentioned it earlier, nothing for me like beat standing out of Miss Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And playing that, trying to think of what else. Obviously, Super Mario World, like we were saying.
What about Galaga? As far as arcade games, Galaga, man.
Yeah, I like. That's what I was about to say. There was some button mashers like Galaga and Track and Field that were like, you could just, it doesn't take anything to play it. You don't need to know any story. You don't need to have any kind of introduction to anything. You just always could just jump right in, and it's button mashing, and it's so much fun. So I think there's a bunch of arcade classics.
We could go on forever. Turtles in Time, Sunset Riders, like...
Oh, so good.
Sunset Riders is so good.
It's really good, right?
Yeah, and I think a really good barometer for the timelessness of a game is to just put kids in front of it and see...
True.
Because they don't... a lot of times they don't care about graphics, or and they'll put up with a little bit of jank, probably more than what I will.
And
I mean, just, we put up with all that jank when we were younger too.
Yeah, so exactly. And yeah. So they just kind of accept these things and like, oh yeah, that's how the game is, and they just start playing it. And so I mean, like things like Mike Tyson's Punch Out or like Excitebike, like we mentioned. You know, it's just they just take to them. And there's no hesitation. They just love it.
Right.
You know, so
just
I think
take it. Just take
early
a tiny.
The early Marvel vs. Capcom games.
Oh, yeah, so good. For sure.
Yeah, all of those. I say the barometer is you just find yourself a very tiny Elijah Wood and put him next to a game. And if he turns around and tells you it's like a baby's toy, then you know maybe it's, maybe they're not going to go back and play that one.
What in the
world? And I think future too.
I think the important thing, I think we could probably, as a good closing note here.
Yeah.
I think the young gamers out there listening to this, just keep in mind,
home,
keep in mind,
one
day you're going to probably run into like a younger gamer who just couldn't get into Fallout 3 because it's so old and weird, you know, and you're just thinking in your mind, like, this person is objectively wrong, but... That's a totally valid opinion, because to them, by their standards, by what they've experienced, this game is like, this is just too messed up. This is not good. This is not fun.
Hmm. And you know what it is a little bit? It's the Jimi Hendrix effect.
what's like, the Jimi Hendrix effect?
Well, in the sense of like, because I came later, I didn't appreciate the genius of Jimi Hendrix because all my friends could do the exact same licks.
Okay.
And so,
oh, that's true.
Growing up around musicians. And so when you come along later in life, and like the Matrix, like bullet time is so overused and not impressive now. But when the Matrix first came out, that junk was like the most ridiculous thing you would ever see
in
your
mind. Yeah,
it's the jam.
And so it's a lot. And I don't remember who said it earlier, but there is something about technology continuing to move and it being an old hat, and that's why you can't be impressed with it because you've seen so much of a better iteration of it since then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like my parents, when they first heard Jimi Hendrix, were like, oh my gosh. So much so that he only really played out for like 3 years and became a guitar god before he died.
Well, I mean, and Jimi Hendrix is one of those guys that like he ruined it for everybody. Like he, like any idea you could think of, like, oh, he played with his teeth. Yeah. Jimi Hendrix did that. light your guitar on fire. Yeah. Jimi Hendrix already did that. You know, play by your head. Yeah, totally. He did that. You know, like it didn't matter. Like Jimi Hendrix ruined it. But yeah, like up until that point, he like at that moment, he blew everyone's face off. And that's like a Chrono Trigger, you know, and then years later, you know, you might have trouble sticking with Chrono Trigger because you got, you know, The Witcher 3 sitting here, you know, so it's
exactly
it's one of those things. But
all of what you can compare.
I think there are definitely. Yeah, it's all in the comparison and definitely all about like what you're hoping to get out of it, you know. If you're just like looking for this moment in time, this time capsule of gaming in that moment, then there's a lot of value in those still. And a lot of them still hold up, you know, like Mike was saying. But at the same time, you know, it's easy to be disillusioned with the classics sometimes because of that exact reason. All right, you guys, end of the show plugs for men and women, inclusive plugs for all.
Oh, my gosh, we made it.
Because I'm very tired.
Yeah, you can keep up with us at spfvgs.com. You can find links to our episodes, our YouTube channel, our social media sites, Discord, Facebook, Twitter, as well as SPFVGS merchandise on Amazon.com. We have our Pizza Always Wins t-shirt, multiple colors, male and female, sizes and styles. Good times, and good for you too. Good fun.
Yeah.
Funga. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Head over to our subreddit at sbfvgs.reddit.com. You can submit news stories for us to discuss on the show, or upvote, downvote. If you don't want to hear us talk about the Switch anymore, then you can just downvote that stuff.
Yeah.
You know. Good to go. You can sign up for podcast hosting. Start a podcast up. Why not? I said, even if you're just listening to our episodes and you're podcasting your own reactions to our show.
Oh, I like that. An SPFVGS reaction podcast.
Yeah,
it's the really cast. Good.
It's like you chuckling in spite of yourself or going, oh my gosh, these guys are idiots.
Yeah, or like shouting at us because we're getting some fact wrong or something.
Yeah.
Nick, you can really like dissect the episode where I ate Chipotle.
Yes.
Oh yeah. And yeah. Hear every really like if you
crank
gurgle.
If you crank the mic up at 58 minutes, you can really hear Mike just starting.
It'll
to,
be like a director's commentary.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you can
like
sign
it.
Up
Mystery Science 3000.
Yeah. Oh,
podcast edition.
MSC3K SBFVGS. Is that enough acronyms?
Wow.
It writes itself.
It writes itself. Yeah. So you can do that at podbean.com/SBFVGS. Very special thanks to Eric Kruger for our podcast logo and for his handsome face.
Mm.
Gosh, he got
so handsome. I don't know how he did it. He did it.
He did it.
Swan donuts.
You can follow the show on Twitter at SBFVGS Podcast. I am Barry White. That's BURYWITE. Mike is Taco Douglas. David is David J. Tate. Gabe, MTTG Cast. Or do you have a separate one too?
That's right.
You don't.
I don't.
You just keep it right there on the MTTG Cast. Married to the Games Cast.
Twitter. That's
yes.
Right, baby.
You can friend us on PSN. Same names except for Mike, who is Taco_Douglas. Gabe,
mm-hmm.
You care to share your PSN?
It's awful and embarrassing, and they won't let me change it.
You've had it for as long as I've known you.
I know, because I thought it was a good idea at one point. I don't
you
know what happened.
You loved that name for a while.
And you were supposed to be my
is
friend
it,
and tell
well,
me,
I thought,
wait, don't
can
do
I
that.
Can I guess it?
To be fair, I kind of feel the same way when I found out today that Dave has never watched The Running Man. I was like, Adam, you were his friend all those years.
How could I not have told him?
Yeah, you just celebrated 20 years.
Yeah.
So, Gabe, can I just take a guess at what your PSN name is?
Sure.
Is it Chocolate Destiny?
That would be some foresight,
that
wouldn't it?
So good. So good.
It's Sabbath Gray, SABBATHGRAY.
All right. All right.
On PSN and Video Gabes, VideoGabes on Xbox.
Nice.
And everything else.
Sweet. And one of these days, they'll let you change your name on PSN. Nope.
And one of these days, Nintendo will let me just use my screen name.
Oh, man. Instead of like 01429-7296- Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they just sit around and they're like, hey, y'all, you want to make stuff difficult today?
Oh, man.
That'd be dope.
These stupid Americans are going to have such a hard time with this. It's going to be awesome. They high five.
Exactly. Let's put all the dashes in the wrong place. We're not going to put it like their phone number or anything like that.
You can also join the SBFVGS PS4 community. Join the official Destiny clan. Play some Destiny 2 with the group, the community, the pals. As they're known.
Yeah.
The right. Pals. Is that what we call them now?
They could be. We could call them the pals if we wanted.
We could.
And a super special thanks. The of butt. Course, super special thanks to super guest friend, Gabe Patillo. Thank you for being here.
Hey. Thank
so
you guys
fun.
For having me. No. This is awesome. I love coming on this show.
Well, thank you for coming on. This is great.
And that's all the time, you guys. That
Sweet.
Is all the time we have. For Super Woo! Best Friends Video Game Sleepover, episode 74. Thank you for listening. We'll be back every 2 weeks with more live-action Mass Effect cutscenes and other talk on gaming. Hit us up with your questions, topics, or musings if you want to be part of the show. Goodbye, everybody.
Yay!
Goodbye!
Yay!
Bye.
Yay!
Goodbye.
Oh, it's so great when the guest claps.
Yeah.
Well, you feel it, you know? You feel it.
You do feel it in your heart.
I don't.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.